الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات. We were discussing the significance of Mujalasatul Ulama, hanging around with the scholars, and the real definition of a scholar is what we learn from the hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam telling us about what Hazrat Isa, Prophet Jesus alayhi salatu wassalam, mentioned when somebody asked him that Ya Ruhullah man Nujalis, O Ruhullah. Ruhullah was the name of Prophet Jesus, was the laqab of Prophet Jesus. O Ruhullah, the Spirit of God, whom shall we sit along with? And he said, Man yudhakkirukum Allaha ru'yatuhu, someone whom looking at him makes you recall Allah. Wa yuraghibukum fil akhirati amaluhu, and his actions make you eager towards the final day, the day of judgment, akhir. That means when you look at his actions, you become eager and keen and raghib towards akhirah, towards the day of judgment. Wa yazidu fi mantiqikum, yazidu fi amalikum mantiquhu, and his statements, his speech increases your actions. So you learn something and you improve practically. So this is the type of alim we are talking about, and our discussion had reached the point where I was mentioning this hadith of Rasulullah saying that al-fuqaha'u umana'ur rusul, the fuqaha are the amin, that means entrusted ones, entrusted personalities of the messengers. They are the amanat carriers of the messengers. They are carrying the entrusted trusts of messengers. مَا لَمْ يَدْخُلُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا, as long as they do not enter into dunya. And then somebody asked Rasulullah that وَمَا دُخُولُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا, what's the meaning of fuqaha entering into dunya? What do you mean by that? And he said, اتباعُ السلطان, obeying the zalim ruler. That means the fuqaha are the entrusted amanat carriers of the messengers as long as they do not obey the taghut rulers. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ فَاحْذَرُهُمْ عَلَىٰ دِينِكُمْ. As soon as they start doing that, be warned about your religion regarding them. That means be careful as you find these type of so-called scholars. Don't learn your religion from them. Protect your religion away from them, in other words. Because the duties of the scholars are more as compared to the duties of the regular person. And the higher you get in your knowledge, the higher is your responsibility towards Allah. The less is your ilm. And I already explained the beginning of these series of lectures with quote unquote the word ilm, knowledge. When we are talking in all these ahadith of the Prophet, Shaheed Mutahhari had explained that ilm means ilmul akhirah. Knowledge of any knowledge, every knowledge and any knowledge that is going to benefit you on the day of judgment. That's the type of knowledge we are talking about. So there is no need to repeat over and over again. So anybody who has ilmul akhirah, knowledge of akhirah, any knowledge that benefits on the day of judgment. So if somebody has the knowledge, the higher he has the knowledge, the higher his responsibility. So more we find the harams around us, we need to do amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, bidding the good and forbidding the bad, in a respectable manner. And not to stay idle on the bid'at and unlawful inventions that are made into the religion, in the name of the religion. People are doing wrongs in the name of religion, added things into the religion, and doing things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, never allowed. إِذَا ظَهَرَتِ الْبِدَعُ فِي أُمَّتِي فَلْيُظْهِرِ الْعَالِمُ عِلْمَهُ. Whenever bid'at, inventions appear in my ummat, in my nation, is the job of the alim to express his knowledge. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ. And Prophet said, whoever doesn't do that, that means whoever has the knowledge but doesn't use, doesn't benefit the knowledge, doesn't express his knowledge to basically stop those people who are doing bid'ats and inventions into the religion, فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ. May the la'nat of Allah be upon him. So the benefit of knowledge, divine knowledge, benefiting us on the Day of Judgment is that we use it on ourselves, we apply it first, and we apply it on the others around us. And we find there is a very beautiful relationship between knowledge and actions, ilm and amal. You find abundant and countless ahadith on that subject. But I've just mentioned three or four here to, you know, just to touch the subject and just move forward. There's a huge number of traditions you can find which are talking about the relation between knowledge and action. Knowledge and action, these two things can never be separated from each other in Islam. So the hadith says, al-ilmu makroonun bil-amal. Ilm is connected, ilm is close. Makroon means muqarin, close, next to the action. It's always together. That means, فَمَنْ عَلِمَ عَمِلَ وَمَنْ عَمِلَ عَلِمَ. Whoever knows, practices. And whoever practices, knows. So if you want to know somebody is an alim or not, look at his amal. Amal proves, his action will prove that he is a scholar. If you want to know whether somebody is a practicing person or not, look at his knowledge. فَمَنْ عَمِلَ عَلِمَ. Opposite is also true. Whoever acts is the one who knows. So if you want to know, you have learned 1,000 books, you studied 1,000 books, let's suppose, but the you practice 523 issues among those 1,000 points that you learn in Islam. So your knowledge is also 523 that you practiced. The rest of the remaining from the 1,000 that you did not practice, 577 is not your knowledge, and this is not going to remain in your qalb. You think you are a scholar because you studied it. You may have memorized and parroted those terminologies of Islamic sciences, but the nur doesn't stay and it departs the qalb if we don't practice. So Prophet says, and I already explained in the previous Thursday to you that we are using the word, when we talk about the word alim, each one of us is also an alim in the sense that, in the literal meaning of the word, knowledgeable person. Nobody's perfect, nobody's knowledge is perfect. So if we know 10,000 issues of Islam, we are a scholar about 10,000 masail. Somebody knows 100,000 issues of Islam, he's an alim of those 100,000. So whatever knowledge you have learned by now, you are also an alim to that much extent. And that much knowledge is hujjat against us and hujjat for us. Hujjatun alayna and hujjatun lana. That means it's going to be an evidence in our favor on the Day of Judgment before Allah, and evidence from Allah's behalf against us on the Day of Judgment if we did not practice the knowledge. It works both ways. Ilm is a dual evidence. Hujjatun lana and hujjatun alayna. So Prophet says, لَإِمْ مَرَتُ لَيْلَةَ أُسْرِيَ بِي. When I was taken on Mi'raj, the ascension, so I passed by Unasin تُقْرَهُ بِمَقَارِيضُ مِنْ نَارِ. So they were being cut into pieces. They were cut by the scissors of the fire. فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ يَا جِبْرَئِيلُ. I asked from Jibreel, Gabriel, who are these who were being cut with the scissors of fire? See, the Prophet saw the haqa'iq and realities. He was shown the realities, because these realities do exist even today, but we don't see. فَقَالَ جِبْرَئِيلُ replied, هُمْ خُطَبَاءُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا. They are the khatibs, the orators from the people of dunya. مِمَّنْ كَانُوا يَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَيَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Among those people who were commanding the people, ordering the people, asking the people to do the good, but they were forgetting themselves. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. You know, we all seek Allah's refuge from, reaching a stage that we ask the people to do something, but we don't practice ourselves. That's the worst a person can get in terms of acquiring the anger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْعَالِمَ مُحِبًّا لِدُنْيَاهُ فَاحْذَرُوهُ عَلَىٰ دِينِكُمْ. If you find any alim, a knowledgeable person who loves dunya, be warned about your religion towards him. That means, protect your religion from him. Keep a safeguard, a protection on your religion away from him. كُلُّ مُحِبْ يَحُوتُ مَا أَحَبَّ. Everybody who loves something, he engulfs that thing. That thing is engulfed by him. And that's the Mazmoon al-Riwayah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Wahi, in his revelation to Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, that Allah says that لَا تَجْعَلْ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ عَالَمًا مَفْتُونًا بِالدُّنْيَا. Don't bring between me and you a scholar who is maftoon bid dunya, who is tested by this dunya. And somebody who already fell a victim of this worldly desires. Don't bring that person between me and you, in other words. فَيَصُدُّكَ عَنْ تَرِيقِ مَحَبَّتِ. Is going to block you from the path of my love. And they are the people who are قُطَّاعُ تَرِيقِ عِبَادِي. They are the ones who are dacoits on the path of my among in my in path of my servants. inna adna ma ana sani'un lahum, and the least I'm going to do towards these. That means Allah is talking about those of the scholars, those of the knowledgeable people who have fallen into a love affair with this dunya and its temporary desires. The least I'm going to do with these people is that I'm going to deprive them from the halawat, halawata munajati. They will be deprived from the sweetness of my munajat. There are a lot of people you find when we read Dua Kumail, for example, every Thursday, or any Dua Tawassul, any other Dua on any other Dua Nutbah on Fridays, Dua Al-Ahad, whatever. When we read the Duas which talk about the fear of Allah, we recall our sins. We end up crying towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of, you know, seeking forgiveness from Allah. Isn't that right? So this is munajat, this is the whispered prayer, when we do the whispered prayer towards Allah and we feel that we are close towards Allah and we seek His forgiveness, we always tend to cry. But there are some knowledgeable people who have learned the knowledge of Islam, but no matter what they read from the supplications and duas, they never cry. This is a red flag in the dictionary of Islamic teachings of morality, because any person who has acquired whatever extent of Islamic knowledge and after learning Islamic knowledge you still don't cry towards about your sins, so your tears are dried up, this is a red flag, and this is a negative sign. So this type of person should seriously start doing tawbah and repenting for his sins, because this is a sign of a person basically, because of the attachments of the worldly desires and our sins, we are sometimes deprived from this halawat and sweetness of munajat, the whispered prayer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should not happen. And this type of knowledge is actually increasing in the distance of the person from Allah. He's getting further and further, becoming distant away from God instead of getting closer. You know, like that guy who came and asked some issues from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. You know, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And Imam alayhi salam answered to him his question, and he went away. ثُمَّ رَجَعَ لَيَسْأَلَهُ عَنْ مِثْلِهَا, and he came back to ask some similar issue from Imam alayhi salam again. And that's where Imam Sajjad said to him that لَا تَطْلُبُوا عِلْمَ مَا لَا تَعْمَلُونَ, don't seek the knowledge of what you are not practicing. That means you keep on piling up your knowledge, but you don't practice. So don't do this policy towards your soul. If you keep on seeking knowledge and keep on seeking knowledge, but you don't practice, فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ إِذَا لَمْ يُعْمَلْ بِهِ, because a knowledge, if it is not acted upon, لَمْ يَزِدْ صَاحِبَهُ إِلَّا كُفْرًا, it doesn't increase in the person except in his kufr and disbelief in Allah. وَلَمْ يَزْدَدْ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بُعْدًا, and doesn't get nothing increased in him other than distance from Allah. That's what it gets increased. So basically you find some of those very big shot scholars in the history, very renowned figures in Islamic history who were so corrupt, but they were scholars. You know, like Qazi Shuraih, isn't that right? This guy whom Yazid ibn Muawiyah, before killing Imam Hussein, asked him to issue the fatwa that Imam Hussein deserves to be killed, because he's a rebel who rebelled against the illegitimate government of Yazid. Yazid's government was illegitimate, but he thought he is a legitimate ruler. So he was seeking endorsement from a Darbari Mullah, a paid agent of the illegitimate government of Yazid, this so-called scholar, Qazi Shuraih. And Qazi Shuraih, first of all, refused to Yazid, you know, I don't want to, I issue a fatwa against Hussein, son of the Prophet. I don't want to meet Allah on the Day of Judgment with the blood of Hussein on my hands. So he basically was afraid from this scenario. So he refused straight away to Yazid initially, because he knew what has he was asking is such a great crime, which is basically total destruction. Yazid, the guy left from the Darbar of Yazid. When he left, Yazid said to his people, some of those people in his court, I know this guy, this Din Furosh, this guy who has ready to sell out his iman and faith for the sake of money. You know, I know this guy. Go and put this much amount of gold coins, dinars in his place before he reaches his home. That's exactly what they did. They took certain amount of dinars, the gold coins, put it in his house before he arrived in his place. And when he reached that place and he discovered that this is what Yazid has sent as a gift, he changed his mind. And that's where he wrote the fatwa against Imam Hussein, that Hussein ibn Ali is a rebel, na'udhu billah, who has rebelled against the Khalifa of Rasul Yazid. And he is mahdurud dam. His blood deserves to be shed. So you think he was a jahil person about Islam? If he was a jahil person, Yazid would never seek his support. And this is just one scenario. You find Abu Huraira, who was this greatest fabricator of narrations, who has fabricated thousands and thousands of narrations, and so many books of Islamic narrations are full with his narrations, which, you know, you find all those narrations of, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman combined cannot be equal in their number to the narrations narrated by this guy who was just 13 years old at the time of the departure of Rasulullah. But he became a Muslim 2 years back when he was 11. And in those 2 years of his companionship with the Prophet as a child, 11 years till 13 years, he narrated more narrations than all the narrations combined from all those three. Can you imagine? Does it make sense? The guy was used to fabricate. So this guy was also a scholar, a big scholar, and so on and so forth. Qatada, in the time of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, this Qatada was again Darbari Mullah. And once he came to Imam Baqir alayhi salam, and Imam Baqir alayhi salam said that anta bayna yaday buyutin adhanallahu an turfa'a wa yuzkara fi hasmuhu. You are in front of those houses that Allah has, you know, permitted to be raised. Wa yuzkara fi hasmuhu, and his name be mentioned in those houses. And Qatada said, well, I confess, the son of the Prophet, I confess that the houses are actually not the houses made of mud and clay. Houses are you, the Ahlul Bayt. So he confessed the azamat and greatness of Ahlul Bayt in front of him. But despite this confession, when it comes to selling his faith, he is still ready to support those zalim rulers. So they are, history is full. And Yahya ibn Aksam in the time of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, and some of the historians say that he played a key role in basically pumping the mind of the ruler, you know, Mamun, pumping his mind against Imam Jawad alayhi salam. So these people were full in the history in almost all the times. Even today you find they are so-called scholars who have the knowledge, but they are ready to support the Ittiba'us Sultan. And then you can find excuses and furnished to justify, which every sin can be justified. You even the killing of the prophets and messengers and the sons of the prophet were also justifiable by those people, isn't that right? One of my teachers used to say that even if you resurrect Shimr ibn Dhul Jawshan from his grave, he will first justify what he did by slaughtering Imam Hussein. First he will try to justify before accepting. He's not going to accept his sin straight away. That's the nature of every human. So don't expect these so-called puppet scholars ever confessing in front of the communities today that we are doing harams and doing bid'at. And that's where the Prophet, that's one of the places which applies to the hadith of the Prophet where he said, فَلْيُظْهِرِ الْعَالِمُ عِلْمَهُ, is the job of the scholar to express his knowledge. Don't let go these bid'ats happening in the communities in the name of Islam. And I mean, people at least can't, should not be allowed to think that they are doing in whatever wrong in the name of Islam is that's right. So what I was saying is that the relation between ilm and amal, knowledge and practice, is both ways. Ilm requires amal and action. Amal is the biggest sign of the ilm and the noor of ilm, divine light of knowledge being existent in your soul. If the practice is not found, if you don't practice what you have learned, then stop thinking yourself to be a scholar, because the noor departs from the soul. So practicing without knowledge is condemned, because that's nothing but misguidance and mischief. Prophet said, "Man amila ala ghayri ilmin kana ma yufsid akthar min ma yusleh." Whoever starts practicing without learning, what he's going to harm is more than what he's going to correct. That means his mischief will be more, his fasad will be more than his salah. His ifsad will be more than his islah. That's how it is. Al-amil ala ghayri basiratin kassair ala ghayri tariq. Somebody who practices without insight is like a person who goes on a path, goes on the wrong path. Ala ghayri tariq, wala tazidu sur'atu sair illa bu'da. And going faster on the path is not going to make you accept farther away from the destination. The faster you go, less like people starting up to pray. They learn how to pray, and then they start learning praying, reciting Quran every day, without understanding the Islamic priorities, things which are more important than just praying and fasting and reciting Quran. So they think they are, because they are fasting more, they are praying more, they are well off, they are good now. Although they forget that وَلَا تَزِيدُ سُرْعَةُ السَّيْرِ, moving fastly is not going to make them accept far away from Allah, farther from Allah. So knowledge has to be there before the action. And also, so this is about, there shouldn't be any action without the knowledge. And also the opposite is true. There shouldn't be no knowledge left alone without an action. When you learn, you need to practice. And if you, ilmun bila amalin ka shajarin bila samarin. Knowledge without action is like a tree without a fruit. That's how it is. And now, moving forward to the fawaid and benefits. Benefits of knowledge are, of course, entirely depending on the amount and extent of knowledge you acquire. Because what you know is just like a light. If you have the knowledge, you have a light. Now, the more intensity, if you have a small flashlight which has a small intensity of light, and it can reach the beam, the spotlight or the flashlight, the distance it can show you is just 30 feet ahead of you. That's the type of flashlight you are carrying, that's the type of battery and power and energy it has. So stop expecting for this small flashlight to show you what is beyond 30 feet of the distance. Isn't that right? That's the type of intensity. So the type of your knowledge, what benefit you are going to get is entirely depending on what you have learned, how much you have learned. So the more you learn, the more is the benefit. The less you learn, the less is the benefit. So if you have a flashlight, for instance, which has a longer range, you can see more. Knowledge is like a tool that you have in your control, because it enlightens you. Allah is Al-Alim Al-Mutlaq, absolute knowledgeable. Allahu Nuru Samawati Wal-Arb, He is the divine light, He is the light of the heavens and earth, He knows everything. He is the divine light, of the heavens and earth. So His knowledge is absolute. So the more we have closeness and taqarrub towards Allah, the more we get. This ayat of Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, ittaqullaha wa yu'allimukum Allah. In grammatically speaking, in the Arabic grammar, sighatul amr, the jaza' of amr is majzoom. For those of you who understand the Arabic grammar a little bit, jaza'ul amr majzoom. But here in this ayat, the jaza' of amr is not even mentioned. Because there is a sighatul amr, there is a tense of command, ittaqullah. Have taqwa, have piety of Allah. This is a tense of command. So there is a jaza, which is related to the Sighatul Amr. But that jaza, which has to be majzoom, is not even mentioned in the ayat. So that's where our scholars say in tafsir, that the real reward of having taqwa and piety of Allah is unknown to us. We can't fathom and measure the real reward of taqwa. One of the benefits of taqwa is that وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. The word يُعَلِّمُ is a verb. If it was the jaza of Sighatul Amr, it would have been majzoom. But the word يُعَلِّمُ is not majzoom in the ayat. It is يُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ with a dhamma on the meme. It is not وَيُعَلِّمْكُمُ اللَّهُ. So because it is not majzoom, so this is not jaza. When this is not jaza, this is just one of the benefits that you are going to get. That if you have taqwa of Allah, Allah is Himself going to teach you. If you remember, I think I had mentioned once before in one of my speeches several times, long time ago, that we have three means of learning knowledge in Islam. One is through the hawas, the five senses, and the range of five senses is very limited. The second means of learning knowledge in Islam is through the aql, the intellect. The range of human intellect is way farther than the range of our five senses. So you can comprehend a lot more things through your intellect as compared to your five senses. Because you can think of so many things which you don't see. You can think of, you can realize, you can accept. X-rays do exist. Isn't that right? But the human eyes don't see. You cannot see through your five senses the existence of X-rays or UV, ultraviolet rays or infrared rays. Isn't that right? But they do exist. So just because we can't see with our eyes through the five senses, we cannot deny the existence of the ultraviolet rays or infrared rays or X-rays. Isn't that right? So the range of five senses is very limited. And that's the first tool, and a very primitive level of tool for learning. The second tool of learning is through aql and intellect, which is farther, takes you much farther. And the third and the most important tool is what we learned from the light of this ayat that I was talking about. Ittaqullaha wa yu'allimukumullah. Because in the light of this ayat, we learned that if you have piety of Allah, if you abstain from the harams and you purify your soul and you have the taqwa and piety of Allah, the reward of this practice, we don't know because it's not even mentioned in the ayat. But one of the sideline benefits, one of the benefits that you're going to get because of having taqwa and piety and cleanliness of your soul, one of the benefits is that Allah Himself is going to teach you the knowledge. This is what we call al-ishraqul qalbi. This is what we learn about, Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha. This is what we learn about the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Anti wallah bihamdillahi alimatun ghayru mu'allama. What Imam Sajjad said, you by the praise of Allah are a scholar not taught. Not taught by anybody in the world. Taught by Allah Himself. So if we have taqwa, Allah teaches us ourselves. None of the prophets of God attended any single school. Can you find a single prophet among 124,000 who attended a school or who learned anything from any human other than a similar prophet? The answer to that is no. You can never find a single prophet learning anything from any human. If there is a human being who can teach anything which is going to benefit us on the Day of Judgment, if there is a human being who can teach anything to a prophet which can benefit us on the Day of Judgment, then that person, that human would have, is higher than the prophet. But there wasn't any. So every prophet of every time had the highest knowledge. Among all the humans available in the community of in a nation of his, to whom he sent with the divine assignment. Likewise, none of the imams or our holy prophet who has the highest level of knowledge didn't learn nothing from anybody. They don't need to learn anything from anybody that can benefit on the Day of Judgment. So they all learned directly from Allah through the flash, al-ishraqul qalbi, the flash on the qalb, which is the best source and tool for learning knowledge. That's what we are discussing, learning through Allah. So that's why our scholars in Urafa say that any alim whose knowledge is bookish and derived from the books cannot claim to be a waris of the prophets. I repeat my sentence. Any alim and knowledgeable person on the earth who has derived his knowledge from the books, not from the ishraq, not from the flash from Allah arriving on his soul, cannot claim that I am the waris of Anbiya, I am the inheritor of the Prophet. Because how can you be an inheritor of the knowledge of the prophets when the knowledge of all the prophets was directly from Allah and none of your knowledge is directly from Allah, all of your knowledge is from the books? You don't deserve to be called the waris of Anbiya. So we were talking about the benefits of knowledge. Benefit number one is the virasat of Anbiya, because Prophet said, Akrimul ulama, respect the scholars, فَإِنَّهُمْ وَرَسَتُ الْأَنْبِيَاء, because they are the inheritors of the prophets. فَمَنْ أَكْرَمَهُمْ, whoever respects them has respected Allah. This also takes us to the second benefit. That's what, I'm not mentioning the exact statement of the hadith, so I'm just mentioning what we learn in the light of that hadith of the Prophet. The second benefit is the ihtiram. The more you get the knowledge of akhirat, the more you gain respect. Gaining respect means gaining respect in the eyes of Allah and the prophets and the imams and the angels. You don't care about who respects us in this world and who doesn't. Of course, the pious people in this earth will also respect you, and those who make fun of Allah and his ayat and signs may not respect you. That's okay. You know, we're not talking about what the ignorants are doing or not doing, but Allah respects you. And the prophets and imams will respect you, and the angels will respect you, and all the pious people will respect you. That's what we are talking about. Knowledge of akhirat gains you respect. And it's compulsory on everybody to respect a scholar who has the knowledge of akhirat. Man waqqara aliman faqad waqqara rabbahu. I mean, anybody who respects a scholar has actually respected his Lord. That's the hadith. The third benefit is istighfar. If you learn the knowledge of akhirat, everything around us is going to seek forgiveness of Allah for our sins. So let's suppose you take your step out of your house with the niyat that I am going to such and such place where I will learn a bit of knowledge from the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt so that I can practice myself. Not to be boastful of my knowledge, not to show off my knowledge, not for any other worldly reason, just forth, so that I can please Allah, for the sake of Allah. I can correct myself, I can purify myself, and I can improve myself and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do my fariza and duty towards God rightfully with the knowledge and the light of the knowledge. So if you go out, when you take your step out, remember everything now is seeking forgiveness for you, because the Prophet says, Talibul ilm yastaghfiru lahu kullu shay. Somebody who seeks the knowledge, everything seeks forgiveness for him. Al-hitanu fil bahar, the fishes in the ocean, wal wattayru fi jawi sama, and the birds in the air, in other words. So everything seeks, all the fishes and all the birds are seeking forgiveness for you. And also another hadith says that إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ لَتَضَعْ أَجْنِحَتَهَا تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِ طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. So the angels of God put their wings under the feet of a talibul ilm, somebody who goes for seeking the knowledge of akhirat, any knowledge that benefits you on the Day of Judgment. So the moment with this intention, when you go out, you are not stepping on the ground in the real sense, you are stepping on the wings of the angels. So this is about just a talibul ilm, somebody who seeks the knowledge. Now what about when you become the knowledgeable person, you become an alim yourself? Of course we are all talibul ilm throughout our lives. We are all students of knowledge throughout our lives, because our knowledge is never complete. So, but if a scholar passes by through the graveyard, and the hadith of the Prophet says, if a scholar passes through a population, a city or town, whatever, and he enters into one side and exits from the other, وَلَمْ يَأْكُلْ مِنْ تَعَامِهِمْ, he didn't eat from the food of those people, وَلَمْ يَشْرَبْ مِنْ شَرَابِهِمْ, didn't drink from the drink of those people, from this population, from this city, this village, whatever. If a scholar enters into a village, enters from one side, exits from the other side of the village or the city or the town, doesn't eat nothing from them, doesn't drink nothing from them, for 40 days Allah terminates the azab of the from that population. For 40 days. So this is about a scholar. And not just that, but when we are talking about ihtiram, another hadith informs us and takes us to a further level, where the hadith says, of course, an-nazaru ila wajhil alim ibadatun. Looking at the face of an alim is an ibadat. You know, we are talking about those ulama who are basically who are pious and have taqwa. The next benefit is shifa'at, right of intercession. When you learn the knowledge of Islam, the knowledge doesn't stop here. As we step into the graves, as we are resurrected on the Day of Judgment, we have our sins and we need intercession and we need favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. Because we are not infallible. So if we had good deeds, we used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is very good. But certainly we are not infallible. On the Day of Judgment, the Prophet has said, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ الْعَالِمَ وَالْعَابِدِ. بَعَثَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْعَالِمَ وَالْعَابِدِ. Prophet says, when the Day of Judgment arrives, Allah will resurrect a scholar and a regular good doer who performed ibadah, worships of Allah. And when they both will stand in front of Allah, بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ قِيلَ لِلْعَابِدِ انْطَلِقْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. When they both would stand in front of Allah, it would be said to the abid person, the person who did good worships in his life, It will be said to him, go to the paradise. وَقِيلَ لِلْعَالِمْ قِفْ تَشْفَعْ لِلنَّاسِ. And it will be said to the scholar, stay here, stay and do the shafa'at, do the intercession for the people, بِحُسْنِ تَأْدِيبِكَ لَهُمْ, because of the good upbringing, تَرْبِيَةْ تَأْدِيب, training, Islamic training that you provided to them. So knowledge, the third benefit of knowledge is shafa'at. And the fourth benefit of knowledge is hayat, life. The more you treat your soul with the knowledge of akhirat, the more you are making your soul and spirituality alive. Because the real life is actually life of the soul. And the life of the soul with its nuraniyat and illumination depends on the magnitude of knowledge that we learn. So, annasu fannasu mauta wa ahlul ilmi ahya'u. The people are dead, and those who have the knowledge are the ones who are alive. So knowledge is the one that makes us alive. The real life is of the knowledge. Also, in the tradition of from the Prophet, we find إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزِنَ مِدَادُ الْعُلَمَاء بِدِمَاءِ الشُّهَدَاءِ. On the Day of Judgment, the ink of the scholars, that means the ink of the pen of the scholars, will be compared to the blood of the martyrs. فَيُرَجَّحُ مِدَادُ الْعُلَمَاءِ عَلَى دِمَاءِ الشُّهَدَاءِ. And the ink of the scholars will be given preference over the blood of the martyrs. Very much understandable, because all those martyrs who fought a battle for the noble cause of nobility and peace and justice in their lives and became a martyr, they learned the straight path of guidance because of the ink of the scholars. Because scholars have written things with their pens, giving us the guidance. And that's how we learn the true guidance. Now, I'm not talking about those silly, evil Wahhabi people blowing themselves up and, you know, doing suicide bombing and killing a donkey. You know, there are so much of those stupid stuff taking place, unfortunately. You know, this guy tying up a bomb on himself, and he goes he thinks he's doing something very great, and at the end of the day, what he does, he kills a donkey. A bunch of civilian people, bunch of innocent people. This is nonsense and evil. I'm talking about those who are dying for the noble cause. And also, we find in, look at the greatness. In Imam Baqir alayhi salam's hadith, he says that عَالِمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِعِلْمِهِ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ سَبْعِينَ أَلْفْ عَابِدٍ. A scholar from whose knowledge people can benefit is superior than the worship of one of 70,000 regular good doers. It's from the ibadat, from the worship of 70,000 regular good doers. 70,000 good doers. And the fadlul alim ala al-abid ka fadlil qamar ala sa'ir al-nujum. The superiority of a knowledgeable person, an alim, is thus over the regular worshipper, is like the superiority of the moon over the rest of the stars. I mean, of course, we know that some of the stars are way bigger than even our sun, but for us, from this distance, we look those stars as a tiny thing as compared to our moon, which is bigger, having bigger illumination for us. And also, nothing is more severe on shaitan than a faqih. One person, faqih. If faqih is a person who has, in the real sense, a faqih is a person who has in-depth understanding of the Islamic issues and concepts. This type of person who is mutafaqih fi deen, Tafaqquh fi al-deen means understanding the religion in depth. This is what is required from us to understand the religion. You can find some of the faqih. Of course, the word faqih today is applied on the mujtahid, on a mujtahid person. But not necessarily everybody who is a mujtahid has an in-depth, correct understanding of the entire religion. Certainly not. So of course, a mujtahid may have or may not have. Both ways is possible. So a mujtahid, the word faqih, in today's terminology of our usage, we use it for synonymously as a mujtahid. Whereas in the Arabic language, the word faqih is used for somebody who has in-depth understanding of the religion. He may not be a mujtahid, or he may be a mujtahid, but he has in-depth understanding of the religion. That's actually the real meaning of the word faqih. In the hadith of the Prophet, he said, faqihun wahid ashaddu ala shaitan min alf abid. One faqih is more severe on shaitan than 1,000 worshippers. It's again understandable, because a person who has in-depth understanding would do things, take policies, adopt policies, do actions that is going to harm shaitan and his satanistic policies and plots, and more than what 1,000 worshippers may not even think of those things, because they lack the in-depth understanding of the religion. Don't you find examples of the Khawarij? And don't you find those silly, evil Taliban today? Do you think these Taliban people don't pray? All of them are praying and fasting. All of them, maybe all of them read Quran as well. God knows. But look at their behaviors and their policies of life, which is a shame for Islam, because the lack of understanding, that's what wisdom, that was missing in the time of Khawarij, praying and fasting and Hajj and all that, and killing this Khabab ibn al-Arrat, the companion of Imam Ali al-Islam, and killing his wife who was pregnant in the excuse that this baby in the womb of his wife will be born, because this husband and wife both love Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam. So this baby will be born, most probably he is going to be a lover of Imam Ali as well after the birth. So we better kill the baby. You think this prayers and fasting they were doing is going to benefit them? So it's all about tafaqquh fi deen, tafaqquhu. Wa illa fa antum a'rab. Learn, have the in-depth understanding of the religion, otherwise you are like those desert dweller Badus sitting in the desert knowing nothing. So this type of understanding of the religion, if you have proper understanding of the religion, then you pray one rakat of prayers and that's valuable in the eyes of Allah. Rak'atun yusalliha al-faqih afdal min sab'ina alf rak'atin yusalliha al-abid. One rak'at of prayers that you pray with the understanding of the religion is better than 1,000 rak'ats that a regular worshipper prays. Sorry, not 1,000, 70,000, I'm sorry. The hadith says better than 70,000 rak'at of prayers that a regular worshipper prays. So, this is how it is, and inshallah we are already at the end of the time. In the next Thursday, the last leg of this discussion probably is remaining, then we'll move forward, and that is about the fact that what is the Zakatul Ilm, everything is a tax in Islam, and what is the tax of knowledge, we'll talk about that. And what is the status of speaking without the knowledge? Those who speak without having sufficient knowledge, where do they stand? And what's our responsibility towards our children? Especially in the Akhiruz Zaman, in the final days, and the comparison of knowledge and wealth. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله المين.